Free, free. A 6,500-mile trip to Australia, New Guinea, Libya, or the Solomon Islands. In a complete dress outfit, which includes gas mask, bayonet, rifle, cartridge, belt, netting, full-field pad, fatigue outfit, raincoat, galoshes. Only $1 chance. All expenses paid. All proceeds go into Spire tickets while they last. This is a contest Al and I originated. I'm afraid I got more laughs than money from this contest. No one takes me seriously. Perhaps the squirrel residents who are dying to take a vacation these days would be interested. Let me know. If we find some spirit time, we may enter a contest where we'll be appreciated. An act playwriting contest sponsored by someone or other I saw in her advertised. This was the first camp I went to. I was shipped around from one camp to the other. I guess I told you that. Mm-hmm. So this gives you a resume. You want to copy that?
Yeah, maybe another point. We'll do that. See, I'm sorry to distract you from about the tunnels. Now that we.
Well, what you want to know about? Here's only Paul. That's when I took a bath.
All right. Shy.
See, use the 10 Allen for his tab. See, now you believe it.
I sure do.
Okay. Yeah, you missed the part about the tunnel.
Can we go back to the tunnel? Maybe.
We forgot to press record, so it wasn't, we missed it.
Okay.
I got about up to the Haiti part, but it didn't. The tunnel, I'm sorry, you said...
Sorry, what do you want to know?
The tunnel was actually...
you want to know how they make the tunnel?
Yes.
Well, I had no part in making the tunnel. Actually, our part was making the forms to line the tunnel with concrete.
Okay.
And that's the job I had at Boss, designing the forms to line the concrete, for lining the concrete tunnel. Now, what else do I know about it?
Okay.
How we made it?
Well, the air vents. You were talking about the air conditioning vents.
Well, you want to know how the tunnel's made. Is that important to you?
Yeah, that is important.
All right. Good. If you're talking about a tunnel, we've made all sorts of forms for tunnels, for dams, for piers, for bridges. Now you're talking about a tunnel. The tunnel is almost a circular opening in the ground, and the opening is reinforcing bars, and then our form was slid into the tunnel on tracks to act as a form so we could pour concrete around it to form the tunnel itself. And the tunnel had a roadway for traffic, and also had below the traffic roadway was a part of the tunnel, the lower part of the circular part, for the passage of the ventilation. That was it, the ventilation area. And there's other things in the tunnel, like openings in the walls for maintenance engineers to walk around, and there's rooms on the side, different things. So it's hard to describe that.
About how long does it take?
How long did I work there?
No, actually, per tunnel, I mean, was this...
How long is the tunnel?
How many feet?
How long does it take to
build a tunnel, or how
long is the Ford pit tunnel?
No, I mean, like months. Dukes. Weeks, months, years.
How long it take to build it?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know. I can't answer that. I would say it would take months.
Months.
At least months. Because it's a long process. Pouring the concrete around. First of all, you have to dig the tunnel.
Okay.
Like an opening. Then you have to put the reinforcing rods around the perimeter of the tunnel. Then you have to build tracks to enter with this form. Actually, they're working together. They would take the form entered the tunnel that was already cut, and then as they're progressing with the forming of the tunnel, they're still cutting more and cutting more. They worked in cycles, you know. They take turns working that way. So it's pretty hard for me to say, because I never really worked on a job on a site.
Okay, but you would say that for months at a time, you were working
months,
on the paperwork.
Months. You know, to build a road takes a long time, and this is super work.
But you were involved in the tunnels in New York, too.
I was involved in making the drawings.
And the tunnels in New York, too.
No, I didn't work on the tunnels in New York. I was not
working.
New York. You know,
I worked in an office in Pittsburgh, but this work was distributed different parts of the country. We worked on a Lincoln Tunnel in New York. That was the latest one that was made at the time. Then, something after that, Newport News, a tunnel under the water.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big job.
Mm-hmm.
It was an unusual job.
I don't know how they do that.
Do you remember anything about the Lincoln Tunnel?
Nothing, because I wasn't out there. I just made the forms. In fact, I think some of the forms for Lincoln Tunnel brought over here for the Square Hill Tunnel. We all of them are slightly conformed to the condition of the tunnel here.
So the Lincoln Tunnel was before the Squirrel Hill Tunnel.
Yeah.
Lincoln Tunnel was before the Squirrel Hill Tunnel. So you had already done the work for the Lincoln Tunnel.
Yes,
and then after that was the, when was Fort Pitt? Was that
Fort
after
Pitt.
Squirrel Hill or?
That may have been later. I don't recall. I don't remember exact dates. Is that important? Actually, it is.
And tell me also at that time, when did you meet your wife? And when?
How I met my wife.
Was this during that time? Or?
That's funny. I'll tell you how I met my wife. After you come home from the war, the boys are always running around chasing, looking for girls. And the girls are looking for the boys because they were separated for at least 3 years, maybe four in some cases. So the fellas, there were a lot of weddings at the time after the fellas came out. The girls had been ready a long time. They had boyfriends they knew before they went away. And when they came back, they got married. And there was weddings all over the place. And the boys used to go there at the weddings. They weren't even invited, but they came there after the river. And when the dancing and entertainment started,
because
they were welcome. You don't know that. They were welcome. They wanted the boys come in, entertain the girls, and have a good time. A lot of matches are made that way. You don't see that today.
At other people's weddings,
it
was kind of a dance for the young.
The boys come in and dance with the girls, they make girls that way.
Something too bad.
The Shelley Hotel was a favorite place. Webster Hall was one. William Penn Hotel. Those three places in particular. And then also the shoals, like Fesh Shalom, Paul Zedek. I don't know, Tree of Life wasn't built there. Those places were very popular.
Okay.
And now also another point I should point out is the YMWHA in Oakland. That was a central point for the boys and girls to get together. They met there. A lot of them met there. And they had dances there very often, and they had clubs of different kinds, you know, social clubs and routine things. And they met that way. They used to congregate there to see each other, believe it or not.
I
just like the JCC now. Only JC is open to the total community. This is more or less a concentration of younger people who came to see each other. And you ask me how I met my wife. Well, it was just, like I say, they were chasing around, having a good time looking for girls, going out on dates. One Saturday night, I walked down Murray Avenue, and across the street from where the Giant Eagle is right now was a bowling alley. You know, Thrift Drug is there now, right in that area, in that building. So a couple of fellows says, where are we going to go? Well, I know a place down on Burke Street. There's a place called the Friendship Club. It's run by the German group who came here in 1938. To escape persecution. They started an organization called the Social Club, the Friendship Club, and the German people got together, their friends, the young people, old people, nice group. So when the fellow says, there's something going on, but let's come and see what's going on. Usually night was when they got there, but kept out of the place. So three or four of us go up to our street, right where Little Shoe Store is in that area, somewhere around there. There's a big building there. About three or four stories.
Is he still there? Is he?
Oh yeah, no. It's there. I don't know about the club, but the building's there.
It's Little's?
Yeah.
Probably on top of it.
On top of Little's?
Wow. Anyway, we walk upstairs. It's Saturday night. There's a lot of activity. People are sitting at the table eating. And we're at the door, and a woman comes out the door. She says, come on in, boys, come on in. And she sees us at a table with some girls there. There's about three or four of us. So I'm sitting there, and I'm talking to a girl who can't even speak English. She can speak Yiddish, so I listened to her, but I couldn't answer because I was tongue-tied. I understood, but I couldn't talk. I never learned to speak. So I pitied the girl, and I was trying to be nice to her, and I take her home. Then I see her again somewhere, and I see her on the bus a number of times coming home from work, frequently. So I decided to take her out once or twice. I start taking her out pretty often. It turned out to be Bell, you know. I remember I was chasing around a lot. I know so many girls had a book full of girls, to tell you the truth. So one time I decided to go out on a date, someone recommended me to take a guy to a girl. I didn't take Bell out that weekend. She wanted to know where I was. I didn't know where I was. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. I know she doesn't remember that, but I couldn't lie to her because she could see right through me. She was all upset I took out another girl. Who am I that she should be concerned about? So that's how I started taking her out. And her brother died about 3 years ago, named Fred Weinberger. He brought her over. She was in Sweden with her sister. After she was liberated from the concentration camp in Auschwitz, her sister wasn't feeling well. So Belle was all right. She was healthy to a degree anyway. And she felt that she should be with her sister. She said she was sick too. So they took a number of these young girls to Sweden so they could recuperate into good health and also given a way of earning a living. So while she was there, her brother found out where she was, and he tried to bring her back to the States. Not bring her back, but bring her to the States. And at that time, you couldn't just come in as a immigrant and be helped like the Russians are helped today. Yeah. You had to have verification that you could support her financially, otherwise she couldn't come in. Yeah. Okay. Today the Russians come in, this is strictly a personal opinion. They come in and expect the whole world to help them. The world owes them a living. That's the attitude I get. Some of them are excellent people, and others feel that they have to have a lot of help, and you can see that all the time. They go down to chase, is this recorded?
That's all right.
They have everything.
You're not the only one.
Everything is handed to those people.
It's very different.
And if they look for a job, they want a top job. A lot of them are very well educated. I have to say that for them. And they're engineers, doctors. They want the best of everything. And the world is, as I say, the world is a living. But it'll work out, I hope. So that's how I met Bell. We got married in the... Hey, Bell.
Forty-nine.
At Freddie Weinberger's home, his wife. His wife is Hetty. And, let's see what I did in the meantime. And Bell had decided she had to have a family real quick because she lost her family in Europe.
Sure.
13 months later, we had two boys.
All right.
That was December 21st, 1950, the boys were born. And 2 years later, almost exactly 2 years there, on December 6th, 1952, the girls were born. And that's what started the empire.
Right. Yeah. Where? You were still living on Hobart until you married, right?
I was still in Hobart.
Mm-hmm. You were still living on Hobart.
I lived on Hobart Street. My parents also lived there. I lived on a second, no, I lived on a third floor. I had two rooms, and the boys were born at the third floor. And then later on, my sister lived on the second floor. And she moved, and we moved to the second floor. We expanded into four rooms, four little rooms on the second floor. And then after we had two. And then afterwards, the girls were born, and we still had four rooms, and we had to look around for a place to live to accommodate the rest of the family. So we finally bought this place in 1954, and moved into it in 1957.
What? Why did you wait?
What's that?
It was a 3-year wait?
We bought the house in 1954, but we were not able to move into it until 1957.
And people were living here?
People were living in the house, yes. Mm-hmm. It was remodeled before we came in here to accommodate a man living on the first floor and his son on the second floor. The son died. I didn't know the people. He was a young man. I don't know what happened. And because of that, they decided to sell this place. So I came around at the right time. But all the other houses I looked at were not so good. All I saw was this floor. I didn't see the rest of the house, and that was it.
Was the whole house for the six of you, or was it always divided?
But the whole house, yeah. No, just nothing.
No, they didn't live.
The whole house.
Yeah, he bought the whole house, but they just lived under there down here. Okay.
There wasn't such a thing as condominiums when I bought this house. I'm telling you the truth. I didn't even know what the word meant. So that's a common word.
So this is like a condominium. Except you own the whole building, and
this
you've
building.
Always been, you always rented out the other floor.
Right. That's common practice.
Yeah?
It's common practice. In fact, it's
still is.
The only time I really got to know anything about condominiums when I started working for the city of Pittsburgh, they start putting up buildings and selling apartments privately to people, and they call them condominiums. But the condominiums I knew were places down in Florida, a place like that.
Yeah.
But here in Pittsburgh, it didn't exist. If it did, it was very rare. And now it's a common thing. People sell, even these old houses, they sell the apartments individually, they call them condominiums. But at one time, it was all a one owner. And they rented out each apartment as they required to rent. The one of the first condominiums I remember was at Mount Washington. I don't know what the name is offhand, but the first one was on Mount Washington. And after that, it was very successful. They built a couple more. And then there was another one over Dithridge Park. I think, was it the Dithridge Apartments?
Oakland.
Behind the J.C.,
YMHA in Oakland.
Yeah. Behind the Young Men's and Hebrews Institute, you know.
Okay.
Jewish rather. I can't think of the words.
The JCC. I mean, that Irene Kaufman, or Henry Kaufman, one of them.
No, the Jewish Center.
Yeah. Y, it had a YM.
There's a new building put up there. It's a condominium. And there's a number of condominiums over in Shadyside, too. So they're all over now. At one time, it didn't exist. I am in WHA. Now it's owned by the University of Pittsburgh. They just bought it the last few years.
They sure did.
Yeah. Did you know that?
I'd heard that.
Yeah, that's true. I know that for a fact. But they had to come in to get a permit. When I worked for the city, I got to know all about what was going on in the city.
Let's see, so you bought in 1954, but you continued to live
What's
on
that?
Hobart. You lived on Hobart.
From 1938 to 1957. In those days, a Jewish boy wanted to a date with a nice Jewish girl, he could find any Jewish girl who wanted to suit himself right in this neighborhood. Today it isn't the case. They have a mixed population. Right? If I had to go to East End for a date, it was too far. It's true. You could have all the dates you wanted right here in Square Hill. Nice Jewish girls. I don't know how nice they were, but they're Jewish.
Kind of the opposite now. And
so why did I pick on the girl from Czechoslovakia? Maybe she picked on me. I don't know what happened.
It was meant to
be. My brother had a long rifle, too. That helped.
It was meant to be.
I have a list of where you moved at the beginning. I don't have. I have a list. That's a chart. This you can use. You're going to give it back to me.
I think I should make a.
Huh?
Maybe I should zero off it.
You want to know my travels? Here's where it starts, right here. 1944, June 12th. Come down this way, you come over here. That's a resume.
You want to ask about that with his work?
This sheet should be on the. This sheet should be first. Put number one here and two over there. Don't tear it off.
I have to do it to,
No, leave it that way. Leave it that way.
Okay. This is
put
two.
There, two there, and number one on the other.
And this is one. Okay.
If you tear it apart, you wouldn't...
Well, we're going to Xerox. I don't have to tear it apart to Xerox it. You're right.
Mike Freed is coming home. I don't know if you want that or not.
He's coming home from the war.
Here's Belgium Armour's Estate, D plus 158.
You know, another thing I'd be really interested in addition to giving some more war information, would be. You lived in Squirrel Hill a long time. Maybe the changes. What is Squirrel Hill?
I didn't follow. I was reading.
Maybe how you compare the Squirrel Hill of 1938 and growing up in early marriage to what is today.
Compared with what?
Compared to what Squirrel Hill is today. You talked a little bit about.
Oh, Squirrel Hill in the past was Squirrel Hill at the present. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Well.
Is there any?
When I moved to Squirrel Hill, it was a concentration largely, from what I could observe, of the Jewish people. And there was, most of the places had one families, most of the buildings had one or two families at the most. And now it's becoming a desirable neighborhood, and it seems like a lot of people have come in to Squirrel Hill. And instead of having one or two families as they were past, the landlords were a little bit greedy and decided to add more apartments to the same building. And if you walk into the Chinago, you see how crowded it is, not the day before, with people you don't even recognize. A lot of strangers have moved in, and they're not, a lot of them are non-Jewish. Mm-hmm. They're mixed. It's more mixed than ever. Because it is a desirable place. You have all the entertainment, the restaurant, and so forth here. You go into town today. You'll go down last week, I was there. See empty storerooms. You don't see any movies in town anymore. There may be one, I don't know. But I don't know where it is, in fact. There used to be a lot of them. Today you can walk to Square Hill. There's two movies here. There used to be third one that closed down. Restaurants all over the place. Shopping centers here on Forbes Street. Right?
Yeah.
So it's more very attractive. But it's, a lot of violations have been made in building here. Instead of having one or two films, like I mentioned, they have more than they're permitted according to code. and it was done without any permits from the city at all. So that changed quite a bit. Did that give you any idea what I'm talking about?
How did they get away with doing it without permits?
You what?
How did they get away with doing it without permits?
No one knows what they did. And they just went ahead and did it. In fact, the laws are more stringent now than they were in the past. These laws were developed over a gradual period of time because of violations they decided laws were made before that. The people did were quite a bit on their own. You look across the street and you'll see houses so close together. Well, there was no real zoning laws to control it, that I could see. Otherwise, it would never happen. Today, if you put a house up a certain distance like Squirrel Hill, you have to have at least 5 feet distance from your property line before you can build a building with a one-family house. If you have two families, you have to go at least 10 feet away from your property line. So in other words, if you have two families in one house on one side, two families on the other side, you'd have to have 20 feet between houses. You look across the street, you can pass assault to your neighbor through the window.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's how things have changed.
Mm-hmm. True. Now they're stricter now.
Now, it's very, depending on the zoning. Now, you may not allow to have more than one family in certain zoned areas. And people, I can point out people on where Jillian lives, have 3 and 4 families. They did it just bought a house and just altered the inside to put in 3 or 4 families. You ask how things have changed. No permit, no questions asked, just went ahead and did it. Now, the same street, if someone wants to put in 2 families, the same area, similar house, they can do it. I know Fox, the contractor, wanted to put in 2 families in one of the houses, so where Jillian lives. He wasn't allowed to do it. You know what Jillian has? I wouldn't say it.
Just don't do it, they don't ask.
It's on the record.
Mm-hmm.
They don't ask, they just do.
Well, it is stricter though.
And it is the right thing to do. Next door, I'll give you an example. Right next door where I live, there's a woman named Mrs. Silverblatt. She had permission for 3 families. She had 3 families originally. At least it was on record as 3 families. And she put in 6 families, and that's what they have now. And she went before the board, and the board was liberal. They didn't know much about building, believe it or not. The zoning board approved it, but the building inspector department should have disapproved it, but they didn't know any better. They didn't know the laws, believe it or not, at that time. That's when I just started there. Now, if you want to...
Excuse me, so that was in 69?
No, that was...
When you started?
It depended who the man was in charge. He didn't know his business, and that's what happened. That's a fact. Now, if you want to put up a building with 2 families, residents, that's fine. But if you want to add a 3rd family, a new building, you have to sprinkle the building. That was unheard of before. That wasn't in the building plan. Can you imagine that? 3 families sprinkled. How many buildings do you have around here with 3, 4, 5 families? No sprinklers, no alarms, nothing.
Well, aren't they stricter now until like neighbors protest? If people want to have 2, 3 families or business, they...
What's the question?
Like on Jolene Street, there was a house that was sold, and now they wanted to put a business there, and everybody protested that they didn't want
these
people
to put... Well, not the residential
area. Right.
That's fine. Zoning does not permit it.
So they're stricter with the zoning than with the building codes?
Why would they want to put a business there? What kind of business was it?
Down the hill, a psychologist or something.
Was it a grocery store?
No,
a
psychologist.
Dennis?
Psychologist, therapist.
The doctor.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes they permit something like that, like a dentist office, because then it becomes a convenience for the neighbors.
It's
something of that sort. But when it comes to business like a grocery store, that's darn different. They can get in their car and drive somewhere, get all the groceries they want.
Well, the zoning thing is stricter than the...
They objected to it.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, the zoning thing is stricter than the building code, than the building, right?
It's not a matter of building code. It's a matter of zoning. You're allowed to put up a good building if zoning permits it.
They have trouble here up the street
then you have
in
to
the
beat
corner.
The building code, see?
In the corner, they've had. You volunteered your expertise. Remember when they were trying to do an eight townhouses
in
the corner.
Yeah, I was against it. I appear. I gave my reasons for it. I remember some stranger walks over to me and says, "Well, I'm glad to hear that intelligent person get up and explain certain things." I just told routine things that they never heard about them. And Houston was the guy who wanted to do it. He was.
Well, anyway, tell me, as long as we're into that, tell me a little bit about when you were with the city Bureau of Building Inspection, August of 69 to February of 1990.
Yeah.
What do you want to know? His experience there? What was your responsibilities at the office?
My position had a title, Chief Engineer of the Bureau of Building Inspection.
And what were your responsibilities?
What's that?
What were your responsibilities as the chief engineer?
I was in charge of the engineering department. I had to approve plans to conform to the building codes. That's basically, and any time engineer, any